From the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Singer-songwriter Jennifer O'Connor is my guest this week. I first heard her when the New Yorker magazine raved about her third album, Over the Mountain, Across the Valley, and Back to the Stars. I picked it up, and I loved it. Her follow-up, Here With Me, is equally great. And now all of her albums are on my bookshelf. Currently, Jennifer O'Connor is preparing her next record and has graciously agreed to spend a little time with us on From the Bookshelf. But before we begin, let me play you a track from Here With Me. This is called Always In Your Mind. Jennifer O'Connor from her album, Here With Me. Now let's meet the artist, Jennifer O'Connor. Welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you.
I love that song, and it seems to me to epitomize what you do so well. It has a brilliant arrangement. It's a folk song. It's a rock song. It has great lyrics, and your voice is very rich, and it has that air of melancholy. And I guess I want to start by finding out how you got started as a musician. Have you been at it a while?
Yeah, I guess it's been a little while now. I started in 1996, a little bit after college. I made friends with this guy named Pete Tunney, who was a musician, and we were working at a record store in Atlanta together, and he was talking about starting a band and recruited me, I guess you could say. And I was a big music fan and had messed around and played piano as a kid and had messed around a little bit with guitar, but it didn't really occur to me, I think, that I could actually play. And then he just kind of pulled me in and was like, okay, you're going to play bass and let me hear you sing. And I was like, and just kind of took off from there. And once I started playing his songs, I found myself very interested in trying to write my own, and just happened naturally from there.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia.
Is that where you're from originally?
No, I'm originally from a really small town in Connecticut called Danielson. It's outside of Providence, Rhode Island, basically, about 20 minutes. And we lived there till I was 13, and then my parents and I moved to Florida, where they still live, and then I went to college in Atlanta, and then after a couple years after college, I moved New York, and I've been here pretty much ever since.
I would have been shocked if you weren't an East Coast born, because the
really?
Nature of your music, I guess.
Yeah.
So you were pulled in rather than. So when you were a little kid, you didn't think, "Oh, someday I'm going to rock the world as a rock star."
No, I mean, I think I'm not really sure. It's because I was obsessed with music, you know, like very, from a very young age, and I just didn't. I don't know. I didn't really think. I didn't really know anybody, you know, in my own life that really played music. I think as like a, you know, at all really. I guess until college. So it just didn't really occur to me that that was something I could do. I guess for some reason, in that way, like in an active way until way later. It started to occur to me a little bit in college, you know, because I became really into music. And I had played basketball when I was a kid, so I was kind of until from like fifth grade through the beginning of college, so that was sort of my main thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I stopped doing that, I think that's when music kind of took over, and I was just a little scared to get started. And then when I, you know, was prompted, pushed a little, it happened pretty easily.
What was the music that you listened to when you were a kid that made an impact on your life?
I listened to a lot of just like top 40, but I really liked the Countdown, like on the weekend, the Case Kasem.
Uh-huh.
And really liked a lot of the pop music in the 80s, and I really liked the Grease soundtrack when I was a kid, and Olivia Newton-John, and you know, a lot of just pop music, Madonna, stuff like that when I was a kid, and then Prince, I really liked a lot. And then in high school, I think my taste started to broaden a little. I discovered REM and The Replacements and things like that, and mm-hmm. and then it got serious.
Yeah, well, because your music, it's, you know, I guess one of the, I don't think it's a problem because I love your music, but I guess one of the problems maybe for someone in the music business is not being able to, you know, classify it in any kind of genre.
Thanks. I take that as a compliment, but yeah, I think it is a little problematic, actually, sometimes.
I guess it depends on where you want to go with your music. I mean, you've been in music now for, you've been a recording artist for what, 10 years now?
I made my first EP in, I guess it was 2000 or so, yeah, so about 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, and are you happy with the level of fame, or do you, you know, when you watch the Grammys, do you think, how come Always in Your Mind isn't Song of the Year?
I think I go back and forth with that, you know. I love doing it regardless of, you know, my level of fame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, I mean, that's the other thing. I grew up watching those shows too, like the Grammys, and I, you know, I get excited about them, and I would love to, you know, write something that won Song of the Year. But I'm not, you know, it's not my ultimate goal.
Uh-huh.
There's a balance in there. Like I wouldn't turn away from it, but I'm not, you know, it's not the overriding reason for doing it. So I try to find a balance in there somewhere.
And your songs veer kind of back and forth from rock to folk, or I guess ballads, rockers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there one or another that suits you more or not?
No, I mean, I think the reason that they're both there is because I really enjoy both. I enjoy writing both types of songs, and I enjoy listening to both types of songs. So I think it's just a natural thing with me. And I've toyed with the idea of separating them in releases, but it's, I don't know. I kind of like the, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Variety, you know, in the recording process, and I kind of like it with, well, one of my favorite artists is Elliott Smith, and I thought he was always really good at that. You know, he had a lot of, especially on the later records, a lot of pop rock type songs, and then he had this really pretty acoustic sort of solitary moments, and I always enjoyed that as a listener, sort of like going through somebody's like actual record of like a period in their life, you know. That's, and I feel like representing that with different types of songs is kind of an honest way of walking someone through that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and it definitely feels, you know, I still use the word record, even though these are not records.
Yeah, but, me too.
But it feels like your record is very sequenced, that you're really telling a story with the way the songs flow on the record.
Oh, good, yeah, I try to.
I want to play a song from Over the Mountain, Across the Valley, and Back to the Stars. And it's a song I love of yours called Tonight We Ride. Can you tell us something about it?
Sure. That song was actually written, it was meant to be on the record before it, The Color in the Light, and it ended up being a holdover onto the following record because I actually couldn't play it. It's kind of a difficult guitar song, and at the time that I recorded the previous record, I was having a really hard time getting the guitar right, so I ended up waiting, and then by the time I got around to the next record, I guess I was a little bit better at guitar. But yeah, that's a favorite of mine as well, and it's, I guess it kind of walks the line as a ballad, but you know, it's got drums.
Tonight we ride, aim high, shoot the bright lights right out of the sky. Patchwork quilts below cover everything like ice and snow. And baby, we'll get so high, I hope we never come down. This is where I wanna stay. I think we should live here, in the stratosphere, every minute of every day. Oh, I wanna stay.
Talking with singer-songwriter Jennifer O'Connor.
You know, I won't talk about what it means or anything. I'm going to let people, I like to let people have their own thing. I think sometimes my songs can be pretty direct, but I also feel like they can be, you know, it's not so much full of me that hopefully people can take something away from it. They put in themselves, and And I know that that's true because a lot of times people will have completely different ideas about what something's about. And it'll surprise me because it's so far from, like, what I was thinking about. But I think that's really cool. I've always liked that about music. And I think sometimes I've talked a little too much about what my songs are about, and I think I'm gonna try not to so much in the future, actually.
Uh-huh. I've seen online that you've done a couple of videos for your songs. And is that just because that's a way to get them heard, or
I've done one video, and yeah, that was something that my record company wanted to do, and I thought it would be fun to do, and I had never made one before, so.
And was it fun to do?
Oh, yeah, it was really fun to do, actually. You know, I did it with friends, and it was like my friend's first time making a video, too, so we were kind of all in it together, and we did it in my neighborhood.
Behind the sliding glass door, we were constructing a cure for what you lost today, and would soon have to give away. The backyard had a curve. We stole cigarettes from Mary's purse and smoked them all by the big rock down the street. Your jean jacket had a frayed collar on the midnight shopping trip that Christmas Eve. We'd lie on your bed and talk for hours. I never thought you'd have to leave me.
That was Jennifer O'Connor. The song on here with me, Valley Road 86, clearly tells a little story, and it's got a beautiful arrangement. Do you, when you're writing a song, do you hear the arrangement, or does that arrive when you're in the studio?
Sometimes I have a pretty clear idea of what I want. I had a feeling with that one in particular that it wasn't gonna probably need a whole lot of instrumentation. You know, we got in the studio, and I that whole record in particular was tracked pretty much live, meaning like the drummer and the bass player and I all played, and I sang actually too. I was isolated, but I could see them. And, you know, I didn't think there'd be drums. So I played it with Michael, my bass player, and sang it. And then, it just seemed like a really, like it didn't need a whole lot else, you know? And, except we added the little electric guitar part at the end, just as sort of a nice little punctuation mark, I guess, at the end.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. I'm sorry.
You can kind of feel the weather in that song.
You can feel the weather, is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's cool. yeah, I mean, it's very, that is actually like a story in a way, you know, of very particular things that happen. But I think that there are things that happen to a lot of people, you know? So, it's made up of memories and good and bad, and I'm glad that you like it.
Is autobiography the main impulse in your songwriting?
I would say yes, most of the time probably, but it's not always just my life. Sometimes it's, you know, people around me that I care about, or situations that happen. I would definitely say that I'm, you know, most of the time involved in the song in some way. I'm not really a kind of a storyteller of, like, you know, like it's not really fiction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally like when I sit down and write something, it's because there's something that I want to say, you know, or that is, you know, needs to get out. So that's so far anyway, it's been the kind of writing that I'm interested in.
What about politics? Does that influence your work?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm really not a very political person. I mean, I obviously care about the world and what goes on in it, but I just don't know that that's the type of writing I would be very good at. Although, oddly, I think Tonight We Ride is somewhat about politics, because I remember writing it around the time of the elections. But just vaguely in a passing sort of way. I think a lot of times different elements of things that are going on in the world and in my life filter in and out of songs that are not necessarily like linearly related, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I haven't ever written like a protest song or an overtly political song. I just don't think I'm really cut out for that kind of thing.
Have you ever said, okay, I'm gonna write a hit record now. This is gonna be a 45.
I would love to write hit songs, and I think I've been thinking about trying to get into maybe co-writing with other people or writing for other recording artists. It's not something I've really pursued too much yet, but I think it would be pretty interesting and fun to try. I definitely like pop music, and I think there's an element. I think I might actually be able to write hit songs if I really tried.
And now you're working on a new album.
Yes, I just started, actually.
What's that process like?
Well, I've been writing for the last couple of years, I guess. My last record came out in the end of 2008, so I've been slowly writing on and off, and then I just decided to start recording this past. I did one song in the fall, and I just actually recorded the past week. I just stopped. Monday was the last day, and started basic tracks on 10 more songs. So it's actually shaping up to sound like a bit of a record. So
when do you expect it?
It's pretty exciting.
When do you expect it'll be available?
I'm gonna guess by the end of the year, or early next year. Probably. I don't have a deadline or anything. I'm not with a record company right now, so it's kind of all up to me for the first time in a while. So, I would like to definitely have it finished by the end of the year, at the very least. But maybe even have it out by, you know, fall or winter.
And you play live a lot, but mostly in the East Coast.
Yeah, I have done two or three tours in the West Coast, but not a whole lot. I just haven't. I mean, when I was on Matador, I did a lot of the tours that I ended up on. It was an opener a lot, and not many of those went out west. I did do some West Coast dates with Damien Jurado and Dean and Britta a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely will. Whenever this next record comes out, to do a national tour. So I will get back out there, hopefully by the end of the year, if not early next. But I would like to be out there more, for sure.
So you're not connected now to a major label or any labels, and you know, I guess the music business has really changed, you know, so
yeah.
much, even
crazy.
in the 10 years that you've been in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's more democratic, I guess, in a certain sense. You can get heard on the internet and stuff. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that? Is it good, bad?
I think it's good. I do. I mean, I actually run my own record label as well. Like, I've put out a few other bands, and I'm, you know, it's possible that I'll end up putting out the record myself. I'm not sure yet, because it's a lot of work, and then to actually be the artist as well. The label isn't, you know, big enough where it's, like, really staffed by anyone but me and, like, an intern. So, you know, that's a possibility. There's a lot of possibilities, which I think is what is a good thing about the changing music business. I mean, it's unstable also, but it's kind of exciting, too, and people have to really be in it for the right reasons now, I think, because it's not, you know, super lucrative. And, you know, I'm just excited to honestly have a new record out and hope people, you know, will find it if it's not on a big label, and I'll get to go out and play some more shows and just get back to doing it, because I feel like it's been a little while and I'm anxious to get back out there.
But I do think that
the internet and the changes, I mean, good or bad, they're inevitable, and you just kind of have to figure out a way to make it work.
When you're recording your new record or any of your records, do you work with a producer or do you produce yourself?
Well, I've worked with producers in the past, and I've produced myself. And for this new record, I'm working. I've actually never worked in the same studio twice. This is a new place I'm working on in Hoboken, New Jersey, with this guy Tom Bujor, who has a nice studio out there, and we're kind of co-producing together. And it's fun. I mean, we just started, but it's going really well. And he's got really good ideas, and he has an assistant, Tim Fulion, who's a really good guitar player, who's there as well. And and I've got my regular band and some other friends that are in playing stuff. So it's a very creative environment, and I feel really comfortable. And and with each record, it gets a little easier too to sort of figure out what you want and how to express that to the person that pressing the buttons, and it's good. I'm glad the process has begun, and I think I feel confident it's going to turn out pretty well, I think.
Ocean of longing, I spit out the song and I laugh with the tide that rolls and goes out. A bookshelf casts shadows that dance at my window. The kids in the neighborhood scream and shout. Today, today, today I stop guessing and give you my heart. Today, today. Today is a blessing, you're far and I'm missing you. I can't wait to be with you, if only to say, stay, stay. A puzzle of pieces, mixed and unequal. I try to make sense of the shapes as they shift. I'm keeping a record, desires that I can't afford. I hope to receive each one as a gift. Today, today, today I stop guessing and give you my heart. Today, today, today is a blessing. You're far and I'm missing you. I can't wait to be with you, if only to say, stay, stay. Put your hand in mine, just like you do all the time. In a room with the door closed, in a room when we're all alone.
Jennifer O'Connor, it's really been wonderful to talk to you, and I wonder when you come through California if you'll stop by and play for us live in the studio here.
I will indeed. I would be happy to.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Well, that's all the time we have for From the Bookshelf this week. I hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at KUSP.org or find us on Facebook and iTunes. I want to thank singer-songwriter Jennifer O'Connor for being my guest this week. I also want to thank our From the Bookshelf staff, the lovely Miss Breanne Beale, for all of her hard work. Thanks, Breanne. For From the Bookshelf, I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.